All right. Good afternoon and welcome. This is the hybrid commission meeting of September 28, 2022. In this meeting, we'll be physically present, and anybody who wants to participate can be here or can be online. We encourage you to be online. At this time, I'm going to ask the clerk to provide Zoom information.
Yes, sir. To participate or provide comment virtually during the commission meeting, the public may join the meeting by visiting the Zoom app on their smart device or on the web at zoom.us or by telephone. And I'm going to repeat both telephones, the last one being a toll-free number. The first phone number is 1-301-715-8592, 1-301-715-8592, or toll-free 888-475-4499, 888-475-4499. The webinar ID is 813-928-576-71#, 813-928-576-71#. Members of the public wanting to speak virtually on any item during the meeting must click the raise hand icon if using the Zoom app or press *9 on the telephone to raise their hand.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for coming. You're going to see we have abridged the agenda because I appreciate my colleagues working with me on this. I didn't want to have a lot of the public coming in for a lot of resolutions and things that we could pass to the next meeting. But now I think we need to have a Pledge of Allegiance. This is going to be a budget meeting. John, why don't you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? You're leading us in the budget.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In lieu of we don't have anybody giving meaningful thoughts, in lieu of that, I'm going to ask our budget chairman, Commissioner Richardson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mayor. And we all know that our community suffered a recent loss with the passing of Deanne Connolly Graham, who was so close to all of us. I remember meeting her the first time about 10 years ago when I first got elected to the legislature. So we want to recognize her and remember her. And we have a proclamation that we'll present to the family. It's my understanding the family is working towards having a date where we can have some sort of celebration of her life. So with that, I just ask that we all just take a moment of silence right now just to remember her. So let's take a moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you. And for those of you, I went with Michelle to see Deanne last week. I think it was Thursday or Friday. It was a day or two before she passed away. And we went to her bedside at hospice. She was with two of her children. And obviously, she's been pretty ravaged. But I went there to actually tell her on our behalf and on our city's behalf how much we appreciate her. And at bedside, I gave her a key to the city. And although she was obviously ravaged and weak, she really was able to laugh and smile and show the kind of spirit that I know we all know defined her. So I just want you all to know that happened. Okay. Are there any announcements?
Yes, sir. On the dais, you'll have supplemental one for item R7B, which is an informational item to R7B, fiscal year 2023. Funding request from Vice Mayor Fernandez. Okay. The following items are deferred. I will mention the one that is not on your list. R9A is deferred to October 26. R9C is deferred to October 26. R10A is deferred to October 26. C7F is not on your list, but that is deferred to October 26. C7F, October 26. The following items are being requested to be open and continued. R7F, not on your list and being requested to be open and continued, is R5A. So R5A is October 26, open and continue. The following items were moved from the regular agenda to consent. So if you wish to separate any of these items from consent, please let me know. Item C7D is now on consent, which is establishing an ad hoc Nightlife Industry Task Force Committee. That was moved from R7M. Item C7E is ratify engagement with UM Water Research. That was moved from regular to consent. It is now C7E. And item C7G, identify total potential cost of harmonization grants citywide. It has been moved to C7G from regular. We are deferring C7F. That is not on your list. C7F is being deferred to October 26.
I'll remove, separate C7D.
Okay. That was all easy to follow.
I'm sorry. That's what you just told me. That was open. Continue. I'm sorry.
It's not.
So it's okay. So R5A is no longer open and continue. They're going to hear the item.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So we have a bunch of consent items. One has been removed. C7D. Is there a motion to approve all the consent items?
I'll move it.
Second.
All right. Show it done with the one that has been removed, which I guess we'll get to at the end of the agenda. What we're going to try to do today is I appreciate everybody moving everything off because I really we're under emergency order. It may not feel like it outside, but we are. And I didn't at the time want to invite the entire public to come on all these other matters because some people like to be here for the discussions. But we do have to do our budget. It's on a time schedule. So we actually had, if we didn't do it today, we'd have to do it Friday or Thursday or something like that, and it posed some issues that were challenging. So I appreciate everybody working along. All right, let's get to the budget. I guess we're going to start. Did you say R5A was open and continued? Or
R5A is back on, and the budget items are R7A.
Okay, so let's start the 501 agenda.
And I'm going to read all the titles, John, at the same time. That way we don't have to. So R7A is a resolution of the Mayor and City Commissioner of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, adopting one, the final ad valorem millage of 5.8155 mils for fiscal year 2023 for general operating purposes, which is 13.2% more than the rollback rate of 5.1376 mils, and two, the debt service millage rate of 0.2360 mils. This is a second reading public hearing. That's R7A. R7B is a resolution of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, adopting the final budgets for the General GO Debt Service, RDA, and Ad Valorem Taxes, North Beach CRA, Ad Valorem Taxes, Enterprise, Internal Service, and Special Revenue Funds for fiscal year 2023. It is a second reading public hearing. That is item R7B. R7C is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Normandy Shores Local Government Neighborhood Improvement District, adopting the final ad valorem millage rate of 0.9717 mils for fiscal year 2023 for the Normandy Shores Local Government Neighborhood Improvement District, which is 9.6% more than the rollback rate of 0.8864 mils. That is a second reading public hearing. That was item R7C. R7D is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Normandy Shores Local Government Neighborhood Improvement District, adopting the final operating budget for fiscal years 2023. That is a second reading public hearing. That was item R7D. R7E is a resolution of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, adopting the final capital improvement plan for fiscal years 2023 through 2027 and adopting the City of Miami Beach final capital budget for fiscal year 2023. That is a second reading public hearing. That was item R7E.
So that's R7A, B, C, D, E? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Why don't we begin? Do you want to start, and then we'll go to John? Go ahead, Commissioner.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that as Chair of Finance. So I appreciate everyone indulgent on the 14th. We passed the budget out as it was presented, and we had eight additional items, which I committed to. I ask you all if we could move that to finance for this Friday, and I'm committed to hearing all eight of those items, and I think we'll be able to take action on all of those. I know there are some new items today, Commissioner Fernandez. You have some. Mayor, I thought there is an item on homeless. Yep. What item is that? Is that on here?
It's not on here. I'm going to mention it when we are. I think Commissioner Earle wants to speak to it also when we get to, was it R7E? Is that what it would be appropriate on, John?
It's probably R7B.
Okay, why don't we, so, well, I was going to bring that back when we talked. I'm going to go from you to him to the public then back to us.
Yeah, so what I would like to do with your indulgence is, again, on these new items, I want to move them to finance. Yeah. I'm committed to hearing them. I will, with the exception of one, they all have to go to finance anyway because of our rule on $75,000. And so I would like to be able to move them all to finance. I'm committed to whatever we can do on Friday, John. I know that's just 2 days away, but if we can do these as well. I know that the housing one is a little bit bigger number. I've talked to Mr. Book this afternoon. So I'm happy to, I know it's very, very important to our community, but can we, I'd like to move all of five of the items as they're presented, as we did on the 14th, and I'm committed to these other items, to hearing them as well on Friday. The new items, assuming, John, you can be prepared to talk about them, at the worst case, it would be the October meeting. So I'm hopeful that we can just take this approach. And I'm moving all items, all five items as presented.
Okay, items have been moved. Is there a second?
Before I second, can I ask a question? Just thank you, Commissioner Richardson. Just want to make sure if we do that, John, we have to get this budget approved by the end of September, right? So Friday's the last day for that. So what would happen mechanically if we don't come to some accord on Friday for purpose of the budget?
Right. So what would happen is that we would go ahead and hear it at finance, maybe even more than once, depending on the particular items. They would get referred back to the full commission. The commission would, you know, approve whatever items they choose, and then we would process a budget amendment either at the same meeting or the following meeting to capture those additional items.
Okay.
So it's my plan, of course, assuming that you all agree and we have the votes, is that with the eight items that have already been sent that are on the agenda for Friday commission, I mean, we'll have to pass those by the full commission, and we won't have that opportunity. So we'll adopt the budget as it is, and then we'll move a recommendation out of the committee on Friday, send it back to the commission for the October meeting, and do a budget amendment. That's the plan. That would be my recommendation. And that's what.
Right, and I'm not aware of any time-sensitive items where that would be disruptive in any way.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with everything, but just since we have us all here, if there are particular items that we're all going to agree on, do we just approve them today? Or if there are some particular objections, do you want to just air them out now? Because otherwise we're just going to kind of – we'll vet it all out on Friday, we'll bring it back, and then we'll fight about it in a month. You know, should we at least get some comments today?
So
I don't know if there's anything controversial, maybe the big-ticket item of the homeless trust, but the rest probably are not.
Well, I think that the additional on Nautilus, there's been some additional discussion on that. The school board just has sent a recommendation on, I think we've talked about a number of 250, and the school board just sent an email basically saying they're recommending that STEM and STEAM go to Feinberg Fisher. And so I was under the impression when the initial proposal was made that had been before the QEC. That issue was never before the QEC, and it should go before the QEC. And so I had planned to recommend on Friday when we hear the item for whatever bucket of money that we want to set aside that it go to the QEC. But this body could do that today, is to send an item to the QEC asking them to vet this issue. The school board weighed in a few hours ago and sent us something, but it would be my recommendation on Friday for the body to set aside a bucket of money in the neighborhood of $250,000 total for STEM and STEAM, and these three schools are going to have to make their case on who's going to be the priority, and if we have additional funding, you know, we'll look at that in 6 months. Commissioner Ariola, to your point on you know, where we're going to have funding. We all know that we've got some real constraints on capital right now this year. One of the things I want to do in finance is I want to vet the $6 million that administration has proposed for stormwater for use for the Par 3. Because if we all agree that we can use those funds, that's going to give us a little bit more wiggle room, because my fear a few months ago is that we were going to have to be put in the unfortunate position of choosing between the Par 3 or the Sunset. And if we can use that funding for the stormwater for the Par 3, I think that we can have a plan to move forward with both of those parks immediately. But I think we have to spend the time to vet that. That's $6 million, and it's a game changer for us, really.
All right.
Okay, well, first of all, I think we're on the same page. I just wanted to put it out there and clarify. Alina,
The only distinction I would make is that I think that there were projects contemplated for discussion for purposes of the Finance Committee that were, in fact, and have been a part of the discussion from day one. And there is a pot of money that has been appropriated in the budget that you're about to approve that would cover the cost of those projects potentially. But there are asks and there are things on the list today that are not currently funded, and I just want to make sure that we make that distinction, and that's why we're saying those would have to come back as a budget amendment in the future, which, you know, we do often in the city, so it's not unusual at all.
And I think that if...
Oh, let's go one at a time. Commissioner Rose Gonzalez wanted to speak.
If you take the money for resiliency for their flooding and infrastructure and you use it for another neighborhood's park or another project, then what will you do when it's their turn and they decide on, I know that that project was stopped because they didn't want the streets raised higher than their homes, but that doesn't mean that they should necessarily be stripped of that funding. How will you fund that neighborhood's resiliency project when it comes time?
Okay, we can debate this now, or we can debate it. We're not voting on this today. Go ahead, Commissioner Richardson.
No, I'll just say that's, Commissioner, why we want to vet the issue, because I want to hear the source of the $6 million. I haven't gotten into the details on that. It's my understanding it's not resiliency funding. It's stormwater. But that's what we're going to do on Friday, and we're going to vet that. And if it's going to stop a resiliency project, then I think that it's not going to have the support that that I believe that it will have, but that's the purpose of vetting it in finance. So we're gonna know that.
Yeah, all Commissioner Richardson, you want to do is you would like the, is it about half a dozen or more projects, John, that we're talking about line
yeah,
items?
I think it might be helpful if we just list the eight items.
List the eight items. You just want to move these to finance.
Right.
You can have it, and it's going to come back here. The mechanism will be, instead of putting it in our annual budget we're about to approve, we're going to put it as a budget amendment should we decide to fund those. So why don't you tell us?
There are eight items that we agreed to move on the 14th, and it looks, as the mayor said, I think it's six more today.
Right. So maybe if we just all are clear on what those are, it might be a sense of comfort. So on the operating budget side, there's three items that are, again, these are the items from the first public hearing. There's a discussion on the iguana funding. And so that could be a protracted discussion. I'm not sure we're going to land anywhere today. The $200,000 is in the budget at this point. The STEAM Lab request that we talked about, now it sounds like there's a new version of a STEAM Lab request also that we're receiving today, potentially funding a bicycle coordinator position. So those are the three operating items. The capital items are Bayshore Park, Maurice Gibb Park, Police Headquarters, 72nd Street, and Slow Streets. And there's actually two separate items on the FERC agenda for Slow Streets. As far as the capital projects go, there's no immediate need to make a decision because the bids are really all coming in October. So this is more of a preliminary discussion I think we want to have on Friday so that way when we do get the bids, we have plenty of direction and we can move quickly so that those projects don't get held up. And so my understanding is that for tonight, the list from Commissioner Fernandez here, which I think includes five items, and the $2 million request from the Homeless Trust. Is there any? I'm sorry.
So, if you'll recognize me,
sure.
The five items that you have, Commissioner Fernandez, the last three on the list are already part of the eight that were on the 14th. So, John, it's two new. The first two items are new, and the third new item would be funding for the potential funding for the homeless trust. So those are the three new items. The last three that Commissioner Fernandez has here are already part of the eight that are already on the agenda.
Can I clarify, Commissioner? Because I see Nautilus on Commissioner Fernandez's request, but I had seen a different request on Mayor Gelber's request.
The school board has weighed in and would and I think that's why it's a good idea to send it to finance, frankly, because I think we got some parents said one thing. The school board has weighed in and said, we agree you need something. Maybe you should have it at Feinberg. So we're not going to decide that today. Let's send it to finance, and then it'll come back to us. It needs to go through the process so we can get the right version of this. And all we're doing now, so people understand, is we're taking these eight items, and we're going to send them to Commissioner Richardson's committee so that his committee can go through them and then make a recommendation to us, if that's what they decide, for a budget amendment, which would incorporate into capital or operating those eight items. And I guess you'll decide, you'll recommend whether they're capital or operating, but they could be both. And so that's what we're going to be debating. We're not going to be debating the eight today. I don't think that makes any sense, other than to have a meta debate about a debate we're about to have. I think we should just go ahead with the budget as proposed, knowing that as part of it, we're going to agree to send those eight items to finance on Friday and beyond. And it's not two, it's 2.9 or three.
Well, the eight are already there. That's what was done. And we're adding three more.
Okay.
So, and the steam is already there. So that's already there. And the iguana is already there. And the bicycle pedestrian is already there, along with the discussion on slow streets. So it's eight items that have already been referred, and then the three new items would be the first two on this list for the conditional use permit database, the hiring of code enforcement officers, and funding, potential funding for the homeless trust. So now it's 11 items.
And by the way, just so everybody clear, the Finance Committee doesn't have only one meeting. They're going to have a whole year of meetings, and we'll probably have a ton of budget amendments throughout the course of the year, so all these things will have opportunities. I think people are trying to get them in here, but it just was hard to slip them into the budget this quickly. Yes, Commissioner, you're recognized.
Thank you. And thank you, Commissioner Richardson, for your hard work on the budget. So I agree with the STEAM Lab. I appreciate you, Mr. Mayor and Commissioner, for including Nautilus as part of this discussion. If we're going to be talking about STEAM Lab and funding for STEAM Lab, I had gotten a request from the parents from Nautilus, which is why I put this here. So now we get to include them as well in this consideration. So I'm fine sending that to finance. And again, as you mentioned, the iguana remediation, I'm sure we're going to be looking into that. With the hiring of the code enforcement officers, I'm fine waiting for finance meeting on this. This funding that's here reflects 6 months for these three code enforcement officers. But the reality is that there's no purpose in approving that now until we don't complete the business tax receipt working group's work. And so that's ongoing, and they probably need another 3 or 4 months worth of work. And so that coming as a mid-year amendment, I think, is perfectly fine. The one that I think there's two that I think that perhaps shouldn't be controversial that I would ask the commission to consider today is, number one, the completion of the CUP database for the planning department. I think that's perhaps something that's essential, an essential tool for law enforcement and for the preservation of our quality of life, an important tool for code enforcement. And it's a small request of $50,000 so that they can complete that database. And the other one is the bicycle pedestrian coordinator position that I know Matthew and others have been requesting. And I think given the pilot program that we had on the beach walk and the issues we've had, if we could consider those two, I don't think that those should be controversial because I think it's pretty consistent with the issues we've been dealing with and the conversations we've been having. And I don't mind deferring the other ones, sending them to finance for consideration.
Sorry, do you want them taken up now, or you're fine with them going Friday?
So I'm fine sending the three code officers, the Nautilus Middle School STEAM, and the iguana remediation, sending those to Friday. And I don't know if it's going to be controversial. I don't know if maybe there's some consensus on the $50,000 for the CUP database and on the funding for the bicycle coordinator position. I don't know if there's some consensus here to make that
if it's a new – me personally, look, I don't have a strong feeling, but I sort of feel like if it's a new personnel, we ought to let Alina and the committee go through it and then just bring back. I think it's going to be fine, and I don't know if the budget as is has – I mean, we're approving a pretty straight budget today, and I'd hope we could just send it to finance with the notion that some of them – and I think it's good to give a sense of what it is. I think that'll probably – have no problem, but I wouldn't mind it going through at least giving everybody a chance to weigh in as opposed to just doing it quickly.
And then if I could address that, yeah. Mayor, as well. Thank you for recognizing me. I think with the bicycle pedestrian, I think it can be controversial, and we need to vet it because I've committed to the community that, you know, I'm willing to support a certain amount of funding for slow streets and bicycle support and pedestrian support. And so I think we're going to have to make some tough decisions on how we're going to spend the amount of money that we're going to allocate. And if I think the administration has recommended against this. That's what I was told. Now, maybe I've misunderstood that. But that's why I think we need to vet it in finance. Of all of the items, the only one that's eligible under our current rules is the first one, the $50,000, because it's less than $75,000. Everything else, because it's over $75,000, has to be sent to finance. So, honestly, I'd like them all to be just so we can be consistent. But honestly, I'm not opposed to that one. And if the board wanted to add that one today, I'm not going to be in opposition. Does anyone have any opposition to the first item of $50,000?
Well, since I'm the sponsor and Commissioner Fernandez is the co-sponsor, I think we're both in support.
Okay, let's just show that one in then.
Yeah, let's show that one done then.
And the other one, I'll move the other one to send over to finance. See? And thank you.
Look at you,
Commissioner. Yeah, so I really appreciate that.
It's
that's
fine.
For two, and so you get we'll one. It's pretty good.
So we'll show. We'll have the eight items we already referred,
yes,
and then plus two plus the two new ones.
I just want to clarify, we would recommend not amending the proposed budget for that $50,000. We think we could fund that from year-end funds at the end of the year from 22. It just makes it a little simpler if we don't actually have to amend anything. So if you're okay with that, we'd like to just go ahead and
meanwhile,
do it that
it's funded?
Correct.
That's what matters. It was funded and the database is created.
Great.
Kumbaya. All right. Let's show R7. Okay, any other question about this? I'd like to open up the public hearing. Lena, you got something for us, or can we go?
No, just for purposes of clarification, it's not necessarily in opposition to the bicycle pedestrian coordinator position. We had departments request close to 90 enhancements, and we only approved and prioritized everything that was tied to public safety or a critical administrative need. So I think it's just a matter of priorities, and obviously if that's a priority of the commission, we will support that.
Well, you'll get a chance to talk about it Friday. All right, let's open up the public hearing.
No one via Zoom?
Okay, good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioner, City Manager. My name is Matthew Goltanoff. I perhaps might be the only public speaker again on this $800 million budget. That's what the Miami Herald reported last time. It's kind of interesting factoid. I wanted to thank Alex for bringing forth one of the items that I thought would have been non-controversial. I'm actually kind of surprised that one position of bicycle pedestrian coordinator that the department feels real strongly is needed to move forth our stalled bicycle master plan. Very little has been accomplished in the last couple of years, and it's kind of sad. What you have right here is the motion from the Transportation Parking Bicycle Pedestrian Facilities Advisory Committee. Urging you guys to approve this position and also stating the public safety benefits. People are every day being hit, whether they're pedestrians or bicyclists, by drivers. It is a public safety concern. This is a public safety budget. It's been reported in the media as such, and it should be approved today if possible. If not, we'll make our case as part of the 11 other items on Friday. But, you know, to Commissioner Ariola's point, anything that is non-controversial, and I think at least 6 out of 7 you would agree that this position is non-controversial. So that being said, again, I want to thank Alex for that. I was going to thank Commissioner Richardson for his motion last time where he wanted to move this position as well as the slow streets to finance, which will be heard on Friday. And finally, I want to talk about, you know, that's a resident-friendly position, right? The resident survey by the city manager's office year after year shows nearly 50% of households have someone that rides a bike regularly in the city. So not funding this position is kind of showing that, you know, in a sense, you don't care about almost half of the populations of the city, their safety. Lastly, there's $36 million in the Transportation Initiatives Fund, and that funding is used to help solve the traffic and congestion problems in the city, and that includes mass transportation, bicycle, other sorts of alternative methods. It would be quite a shame if that fund was raided to help fund some of the capital budget shortfalls going forward. You know, the city should be investing in resilient and sustainable ways to move our city forward. Taking that money, it's a small amount of money, but taking that money that's been sitting there for years and not using it to, for instance, implement our bicycle master plan in a expedited basis or improving mass transit, you know, would be a shame. And I would urge you all, as you look for ways to plug these funds, that you take into account the purpose of that fund and that you use it for that method. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
No one on Zoom. And just for the record, these are public hearings on R7A, B, C, D, and E.
Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing. Thank you again for speaking on our $800 million budget. Let's bring it back to the commission. Members, this is our second reading. We've talked about it. I think it is fairly described as a public safety budget. I'm not going to get into the details, but I thank the committee for putting it together, Commissioner Richardson. Our public safety budget, I think a couple years ago, was 50% of our annual budget. I think this year it's 60%. I think that just reflects that as more people are coming here and there's more activity here, we need more people doing the police work, the fire work, the code work, the ranger work, all of it. So I'm very grateful to all of you for reflecting what I think our residents want, which is the safest community they can live in. And I also want to thank our team. Thank you very much, Tamika, and whoever you worked with. Oh, it was him. Okay. No, seriously, we, you know, I know all of the departments work with you on this, so we're very grateful to the work that you and Alina have done to make sure that we have a viable and responsible budget that reflects who we are as a city. So with that, I'm going to recognize you.
I just want to mention that Tamika and her team had to deal with 4 vacancies out of probably 6 people down there this year. So they've had a lot of challenges, and so I just want to thank them personally myself. So thank you.
Anybody else want to be heard?
I would like to thank the staff. You know, it looks like it's easy. We're doing something here over a couple of meetings, but the truth is that you spent 6 months working on it, and I appreciate all the hard work you guys have done as a team. So thank you.
Okay, let's call the roll.
So I need a motion on. Are we going to do them all together?
I'm moved all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
them all together on one vote.
Yes, sir.
Is anyone going to separate their votes on anything? No. Go ahead.
So on R7A, B, C, D, and E, I need a vote. It's a voice vote.
It's a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, nay.
Motion's passed.
Okay, show that done unanimously. Okay, now let's move to the...
Mayor, as a point of order, I had item R9B that I offered to move to October, and I don't know that was called by the clerk, so maybe it was moved. So I'm happy to move that in the interest of moving the meeting along.
So
R9B to October.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, so why don't we move to the 510 R5A. Is that the next one?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's get through the R5s.
R5A is a workforce housing fee waivers. It is an ordinance of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending the land development regulations of the Code of the City of Miami Beach by amending Chapter 118, Administration and Review Procedures, Article 1 in general, at Section 118-7.
Just point of order. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
We were hoping to complete all the budgets if we could. We have to complete the capital and operating budget for the RDA and the North Beach CRA as well, if we could, please.
So you want to do the RDA first, then?
Yeah, sure.
So the first item, we're reconvening as the RDA, and we are recessing as a commission meeting. The first item is adopt final RDA capital budget for fiscal year 2023, RDA 1.
Okay, is the public hearing?
It is not.
Okay. Anybody going to move it?
I'll move both of the items.
And Richard and Ariel, will you second both of them? Okay, show them both moved and seconded. There's two of them.
Now we're going to the North Beach Community Redevelopment Agency item. It is adopt final North Beach CRA operating budgets for fiscal year 2023.
Okay, show those moved and seconded. Show all the redevelopment agency, both North Beach and final RDA adopted unanimously. Okay, let's get back to R5A. Is that all right now? Okay. Thanks for watching over us, Alina.
R5A is an ordinance of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending the land development regulations of the Code of the City of Miami Beach by amending Chapter 118, Administration and Review Procedures, Article 1 in general at Section 118.7, fees for the administration of land development regulations, to waive land development board application fees associated with workforce housing developments, amending Chapter 122, concurrency management and mobility fees, Article 1, purpose and general provisions at Section 122-5, entitled exemptions from concurrency mitigation and mobility fees, to waive concurrency and mobility fees associated with workforce housing developments, and amending Chapter 133, Sustainability and Resilience, Article 1, Green Buildings Division 2, Green Buildings Regulations at Section 133-3, Sustainability Requirements, to exempt non-elderly and elderly low and moderate income and workforce housing developments from the city's green building regulations, yes. Amending Chapter 82, Public Property, Article 7, Art in Public Places, Division 4, Procedures at Section 82-537, Definitions, to exempt from the art and public places requirements, lower moderate income housing or workforce housing developments constructed on city-owned land, amending Chapter 58, Housing Article 1 in general by creating Section 58-1, Financial Incentives for Affordable and Workforce Housing Developments, to establish financial incentives for affordable and workforce housing developments, amending Article 6, Workforce Housing, Section 58-501, Definitions, and Section 58-503, Workforce Housing Requirements, to amend the minimum requirements for the Declaration of Restrictive Covenants, including control period, and amending Appendix A, fee schedule to exempt workforce housing units or developments from mobility fees, and providing for repealer, codification, servability, and effective date. This is a second reading public hearing. The item requires a 5-7 vote. R5A.
Okay, this is second reading. Fernandez, Christian Rosen Gonzalez, either one of you want to say anything? This is what we worked on and we changed.
Yes. Okay. A first reading, and needless to say, everyone knows the crisis that we have with affordable and workforce housing, and you know the cost of land acquisition plus the cost of development makes it nearly impossible to create affordable and workforce housing here. But this is one of the financial incentives that we can offer to foster the development of affordable and workforce housing. These incentives relate to, you know, art and public places fees, park concurrency fees, sustainability fees, mobility fees. And in some of these projects, when you add these up, these could be sometimes well over $1 million that ultimately makes it more difficult for there to be affordability in housing in Miami Beach. And so, Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez, thank you as well for your leadership and for co-sponsoring with me, and to the administration for your work on it.
Can I?
Sure.
As chair of the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee, we have this discussion very often. I also serve on a board that is regional, actually statewide, and it discusses affordable housing too. So I'd like to thank Nick Kalergis, yes, who we asked to come up with all of these ways that we could that we could possibly create this affordable housing. Raquel, we're happy that you worked on this too. But we started this discussion with Nick, and one of the things that we have to that the state of Florida mandated was the fact that if you want to build affordable housing or require affordable or workforce housing or inclusionary housing, the state of Florida now says that you have to come up with some sort of economic incentive to somehow cover whatever the developer, especially if we wanted to do any inclusionary workforce housing. So this is a first step. This is not necessarily enough. We need to continue to work on this. But because of this, and I'm going to just piggyback a little bit on what we now are discounting or completely waiving the Art in Public Places, all Land Development Board application fees, concurrency and mobility fees, green building requirements, and this is for not just affordable housing, but for workforce housing. And hopefully moving forward, we will do some study, because I know that we were getting an estimate on this inclusionary housing, and if we ever want to require some type of inclusionary workforce housing moving forward in any kind of project, we are going to have to come up with even more ways to incentivize developers, because we have to cover the entire cost of whatever it would be in terms of them including workforce or affordable housing. Did I cover that? Okay.
Beautiful.
So thank you, Nick. Thank you, Raquel, for working on this. And with that, I would move this
and I
item.
Moved and seconded. Raquel, you see this is a winner, so you're not saying anything.
And Mayor, I just have one question, yeah. If I could. I just want to, are there any changes from first reading, or is it exactly the same as first reading?
There are no changes.
No changes. Great.
Good but item. There'll be more items coming. I have some recommendations that working with administration on.
Okay, let's go ahead and call the roll. Did we do the public hearing?
We did not, and there's no one in Zoom. Anyone in the audience?
Okay, public hearing open and closed. Let's go ahead and call the roll.
Vice Mayor Fernandez.
Yes.
Commissioner Richardson.
Yes.
Commissioner Minor.
Yes.
Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez.
Yes.
Commissioner Arriola.
Yes.
Mayor Gelber.
Yes.
Motion carries. The item is approved.
Okay, let's get our union contracts. Who's doing it?
Yes, sir. R5B. R5B is an ordinance of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending Ordinance 789, the Classified Employee Salary Ordinance of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, as follows. In accordance with a negotiated collective bargaining agreement providing for qualifying incumbents in the classifications in Group 1, represented by the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFSCME, Local Number 1554, as follows. Retroactively effective the first full pay period ending in May of 2022, there should be an across-the-board cost-of-living adjustment COLA of 2%, and the minimum and maximum of each salary range will also be increased by 2%, effective the first full pay period ending in May of 2023. There should be an across-the-board COLA of 3%, and the minimum and maximum of each salary range will also be increased by 3%, effective the first full pay period ending in 2024. There should be an across-the-board COLA of 3%, and the minimum and maximum of each salary range will also be increased by 3%. Adding concession attendant, waste collector, mechanic one, waste driver, supervisor, diesel generator mechanic, pest control supervisor, stormwater supervisor, concession attendant, part-time municipal service worker one, part-time recreational leader one, part-time MSW two, part-time MSW three, part-time and sign maker part-time classifications into the bargaining unit, repealing all ordinances in conflict, providing for severability and effective date and codification. This is a second reading public hearing, R5B.
Okay, call all three.
R5C is an ordinance of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending the Ordinance Number 789, the Classified Employee Salary Ordinance of the City of Miami Beach, in accordance with the Negotiated Collective Bargaining Agreement, providing for the classification in Group 3, represented by the International Association of Firefighters, IAFF, Local 1510, retroactively effective the first full pay period ending in April of 2020. This should be an across-the-board cost-of-living adjustment COLA of 2%, effective the first full pay period ending in April of 2023. This should be an across-the-board COLA of 3%, effective the first full pay period ending in April of 2024. This should be an across-the-board COLA of 3%, repealing all ordinances in conflict, providing for severability and effective date and codification. R7D is an ordinance of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending Ordinance Number 1605, the Unclassified Salary Ordinance, as follows, retroactively effective the first full pay period ending in April of 2022. There should be an across-the-board cost-of-living adjustment COLA of 2%, and the minimum and maximum of each salary range will also be increased by 2%. Effective the first full pay period ending in April of 2023, there should be an across-the-board COLA of 3%, and the minimum and maximum of each salary range will also be increased by 3%. Effective the first full pay period ending in April of 2024, this will be an across-the-board COLA of 3%, and the minimum and maximum of each salary range will also be increased by 3%. The maximum of each salary range will be raised by 5% to account for COLAs not awarded to unclassified employees in 2017, 2019, and 2020. Various classifications for the group shall be added and or removed. Range changes due to reclassification of various classifications shall be adopted. All classifications and grades alphabetical order shall be readopted. Outdated language shall be deleted and or revised, and providing for repealer, severability, and an effective date. This is a second reading public hearing as well. All three items are second reading public hearings.
Okay. Is this public hearing?
Yes, sir.
All right. Who's going to, Alina? We've had this already. You want to cue it up again?
Sure, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry, Alina. There's one more. There's one more.
R5. I'm sorry. That was. I read D.
You read all three.
I read.
R5B, R5B, R5C, and R5D.
Yes, I read those.
So R5B and R5C effectuate the contract that you actually approved already on September 14th. These are the ordinances required to implement the salary increase, and R5D implements the same for the unclassified classifications in our city. Just for point of reference, the unclassifieds of our city represent over 700 of our employees. AFSCME represents approximately 350 of our employees, and our fire union represents approximately 199 of our employees.
Okay. Public hearings over? Any questions? Somebody want to move it?
I'll move all the items.
Show Ariola seconding it. Is this a voice vote?
Yes, sir, and I'm going to do a voice vote on one. I mean, a roll call on one for all of them.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Richardson.
Yes.
Sure. Commissioner, you're recognized for a question.
I had a question about this, and I don't know if it was necessarily resolved with the CWA, but it was why, despite, and this is coming from the union, why, despite all of the modifications of CWA to the early out paid for actual, why didn't they get the same benefits that the other unions got years ago? They were upset about this, and this seems, why are we giving certain benefits to some unions and not to other unions, especially when this, and I believe this question was for Eric.
Commissioner.
Could you explain this to me before we vote on it? Because I didn't necessarily understand it 100%. I wanted to be explained exactly why. Yeah.
And Commissioner, respectfully, every agreement is different and every classification of employee is different. And so the packages historically have been different, and in these recommendations, they're different. But at this time, it's important to be clear for the record that we actually have agreements with all five of our collective bargaining units. You have two that you've already approved, and obviously this effectuates it. You have three that are outstanding and being subjected to the vote of the membership. If those memberships ratify those agreements, we will be back with those recommendations and do the exact same thing for those other organizations. If the membership does not, so if there's an issue with CWA and the membership does not, we will obviously go back to the table. But at this point, we have five agreements that have been approved by the labor leadership of all unions.
But can you explain what this issue was that they're saying that they don't have that the other unions do? What specific issue is it? Because we weren't there in these negotiations, so I'm not sure what the question was from them. I'm sure you understand, you know what it is.
So I believe I understand the question that you're asking. The simple answer to the question that you're posing is, why didn't we agree to the request of the CWA bargaining unit to allow four individuals an early out on their pension? And the very simple answer is that we didn't feel that the cost that would be borne by the city and by the pension to pay out those four individuals was the best use of those dollars. And as a result, we didn't want to agree to that golden parachute for four people when we thought that that money could be spread better across the entire union.
And what is this early out, and why do the other unions have it but not the CWA union?
I don't know that the other unions do have what you're referring to.
They do not have this early out option I mean, I'm going to have to vote no on this then, I suppose, because I don't understand this one question. And I mean, police and fire are getting this early out, right? And nobody's getting the early out, because according to the CWA, this is some sort of benefit that police and fire are getting that those four employees are not. And I just want to understand why they're not getting what other, I understand that they're different unions and these are different negotiations, but this is four individuals. Why couldn't they just?
Well, there are multiple tiers of retirement options in this city across the board for different bargaining units and for different classes, depending on when you're arrived. There's three tiers of retirement benefits. units, and depending on the collective bargaining unit, there are different drop programs, there are different opportunities. So I think, again, the important thing to remember is these agreements were negotiated in good faith. We reached an agreement with the labor leaders, and we have an agreement. And so this is, at this time, you know, the concern would be that if you make an exception for four individuals, you run the risk of putting the balance of the collective bargaining process in jeopardy, because you would have to offer that potentially to every employee in our system.
According to them, they do have this option, though. So no one in fire and no one in police has a similar early out option. And the early out option, can somebody just define what that is? It just means that you can retire at an earlier date. What, can you explain that to me, please?
This is Marla Alpizar.
Hi, Marla.
Director of Human Resources. There is no current early out program in any of the contract provisions. Every bargaining unit has different tiers for their pension system, and so we could sit and go through in detail that data bargaining unit by bargaining unit. I mean, police and fire have a whole different pension system, not just a whole different contract.
And I also think it's important to note that, you know, when we sat down at the bargaining table, we were very clear with all of the bargaining units that we were not going to make movements that were going to overly burden the pension accounts. And so we made almost no changes with regard to the pension in any of the bargaining units.
But can you just explain to me, these four employees, what are they asking for specifically? That's all I wanted to know. What were they asking for that they did not get?
So we don't have that with us at this meeting because CWA was not an item. But from my memory, they were asking for an ability to retire before the age is established in the current pension ordinances.
And the current pension ordinance says what age for CWA?
It depends on your tier. So I would have to go in and find what their proposal was, and then we would have to.
So a lifeguard who is at the highest tier would be able to retire when?
So for example, if someone is in tier B, tier B is allowed to retire at age 55.
Okay.
They're talking about asking for the ability to retire at age 51, for lack of a better example. And so by retiring 4 years early, the city is now picking up that additional cost of the 4 years of additional pension that's going to be paid out to that individual.
And in the police or the fire union, they don't have a similar option where if their standard retirement rate is 55 and they wanted to retire at 51, they would not be able to do this?
My understanding is that the police department has a rule of 70, which means that the aggregate total of their age and their years of service must equal 70 before they can retire.
But there's nothing earlier.
And what is it for the CWA?
I believe
so
the
they want this rule of 72. I just don't understand. Can't we just give that to them and approve this? Do you guys have a problem with these four employees getting the rule of 70 like the police and fire have?
Let me say this. You all went through a negotiation, and this was the agreed-to contracts that both the unions and the administration came to, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
CWA is not even here today.
Oh, all right.
CWA is not here today. They have to vote, and they haven't voted yet. I don't know if
they
voted yet. Yeah. So CWA is not currently here.
So, I mean, Commissioner, I'm not going to, on these three contracts, put something on the table that both parties to the negotiation has already settled. I'm not going to open up the negotiation when we have an agreed contract. The union leaders and our administration and our representatives met over probably months, if not longer, and this is what they've agreed to. This is an agreement. So I'm not going to take an agreement that's come to us and say, I don't like what you all agreed to. I'm just questioning
why we did that. And I'd also just like to explain that I think that lifeguards, similar to police and fire, are now in situations on the beach where they are, you know, the sun is hotter than it's ever been before. They are now out there almost as police officers on a beach where out of control partying. We know for at least during the month of March is happening. So I understand why some of them would want that same benefit. And I wouldn't be able to vote for it if I don't think it's fair. I just wanted to state that, and I didn't understand exactly why those four employees weren't getting what I believe the fire and police unions go above and beyond to get. And I understand that they're risking their lives and their first responders, but so are the members of the CWA, our code compliance officers, our lifeguards. They are out there and they are doing a really difficult job, and I think that they should have the same benefits as everyone else. I just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay, none of these are the CWA contract. So let's go ahead.
I have a question, yeah. If I can, that I just want to understand if I heard you right. Did I hear you say that the leadership that was negotiating the CWA asked for something special for the people that were in the room negotiating? This wasn't a benefit for all of their members. This was something they wanted for the people negotiating on behalf, but they wanted something special and they were negotiating. Is that what you said?
I don't know that all four of them were in the room, but some of the four were in the room, yes.
But just for four people. And and some of the people in the room were asking for something special just for themselves and three other people or two other people.
Correct.
I think it's incredible. I just think that's remarkable that the people negotiating on behalf of their membership would come into a negotiation and ask for something special. I think, honestly, I think it's shameful, and I want to learn more about it. I think it's shameful.
Okay.
And presumably they were the leaders. Right, they're at the bargaining table, so.
Bargaining on behalf of their membership, right. But bargaining on behalf of themselves.
I think that these are hardworking, salaried employees that deserve to advocate for themselves, and I wouldn't call any negotiation shameful, and that's just the elitist perspective that is so offensive sometimes because I don't think there's an understanding of what it is to be an employee.
Okay, let's bring this up.
Okay, so for the record,
I guess being an elected official, in your case, being twice elected to the state legislature, and for the salaries we work and the time we put in, you know, for you to say something like that's ridiculous and offensive on its face.
Okay, let's bring this home.
So just for the record, we were voting on all three items. We had public hearings on all three items. There was no one via Zoom or in person. We're doing R5B, B, C, and D. Commissioner Richardson on all three.
Yes.
Yes. Commissioner Areola.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Fernandez.
Yes.
Commissioner Minor.
Yes.
Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez.
Yes.
Mayor Gelber.
Yes.
The motion carries and three items are approved. Thank you.
Okay, let's move to R5. I guess the only thing left is R5 E and F, right?
Correct.
All right, and then we're going to go to the consent item, I guess. But let's do R5E.
I'm sorry, you want to do R5E?
E. Yes.
Sorry, which letter?
E.
E, yes. An ordinance of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending the Code of the City of Miami Beach, Subpart B, entitled Land Development Regulations by amending Chapter 142 of the City Code, entitled Zoning Districts and Regulations, Article 2, entitled District Regulations, Division 18, entitled PS Performance Standard District by amending Section 142.693, entitled Permitted Uses to Modify Restrictions Applicable to Neighborhood Impact Establishments intended to prevent impacts on neighboring residential communities and providing for codification, repealer, severability, and an effective date. This is a first reading, R5E.
I move my item.
Okay. Is there there's public hearing?
No. Nope. It is not, no.
Okay. Is there a second? Is it a good item?
I'll second it, yeah.
Call the roll.
Commissioner Areola.
Yes.
Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez. Commissioner Richardson.
Yes.
Commissioner Minor.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Fernandez.
Yes.
Mayor Gelber.
Yes.
Motion passes. Second reading public hearing is scheduled for October 26.
R5F. You reading the room again?
R5F is an ordinance of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending Chapter 70 of the Code of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, entitled Miscellaneous Offenses by amending Article 1, entitled General, by amending Division Section 70-1 thereof, entitled State Misdemeanors by adopting through specific reference to state law misdemeanor offenses of breach of the peace, disorderly conduct, to affirmatively establish an offense against municipal law for the same acts to constitute such offense against the state law and providing for repealer, severability, codification, and an effective date. This is a first reading, R5F.
Okay.
I'm going to let the experts speak on the item.
Let's make it quick.
Okay. Well, as you know, you recently adopted three state law misdemeanors that the city now charges, if we wish, as municipal ordinance violations. This would add a fourth, which is breach of the peace, disorderly conduct, which includes pursuant to the state law, acts that would corrupt the public morals or outrage the sense of public decency, affect the peace and quiet of people who may witness them, or engage in brawling or fighting. And if you approve that at second reading, that will become a municipal ordinance violation. And we have looked at the number of those that come in, and there's about 200 a year. We would anticipate if you bring this into the city code that we would get probably about 100 of them that would be charged by our municipal prosecutors, and about 100 that would be accompanied by other state law offenses, so the state attorney would continue to prosecute those. And we have looked at our bandwidth, and we think we can well handle that additional work through our municipal prosecution team.
Commissioner Fernandez.
Yes, and if you could expand, what are some of the crimes that the public could anticipate for our municipal prosecutor to be prosecuting?
Right. The disorderly conduct is sort of a catch-all provision that is used for general sort of mayhem. If there is a specific crime in the ordinances or the state law that would be applicable to an act, the courts require you to charge it under that. But we have some examples of things that could qualify under number one, corrupting the public morals or outraging the sense of public decency. A good example of that, and one that has been upheld by the courts, is a woman sunbathing topless on a beach. Or a general display of nudity in public. The second one, affecting the peace and quiet of persons who may witness them. An example that's been upheld by the court for disorderly conduct is going to somebody's house at 11:30 at night and banging on the door and yelling to be let in. And then third, the engages in brawling and fighting is, of course, like a fight between two people. Whereas battery might be if you walked up to somebody and just punched them in the face. If both people are punching, then that would be disorderly conduct. So it is a broad offense that can be charged for a lot of things. It's important to note that our police officers have been charging disorderly conduct under state law forever, for years. Like we said, they charge about 200 of them a year. So they know how to charge this. They know under what circumstances the courts have upheld it. And the city attorney's office is, as always, available to assist them as needed.
Let me ask you an easy question. Just so people understand, this is the state disorderly statute that you're simply putting into our municipal code. Is it different in any way?
It's not in any way.
Okay, so just so people understand, right now there are a couple hundred arrests every year under the state disorderly statute, and those arrests are the ones you just described, whatever they are. It could be brawling or whatever breaches of the peace. And that statute has been on the books for books for a long time.
Since 1959.
And we've been charging it, and all we're doing since we now have municipal prosecutors is we're putting it in our code so we don't have to rely on another prosecutor. Our own prosecutors can do it.
Precisely.
Okay. It's the same thing. All right. I know, Commissioner Ariola, you're recognized.
You gave three examples, or were those the three that are getting embedded in the municipal code?
No. The three... sort of elements of the types of crimes that the state law sets forth are corrupting the public morals or outraging the sense of public decency.
Right.
And an example of that the courts have upheld is a woman sunbathing nude on the beach. The second one is...
Like that example, that's still the law of Florida?
I was surprised to hear it too, but yes, it is.
At least, I mean, I've seen that case I thought it was in Florida. It must have been in other cases where it's a violation of equal protection, right? Men and women, men can do it, women can't, and other courts have struck it down.
I think that the general idea here of its continuing vitality, and I think even if it hasn't been challenged, that could be challenged.
Here's my issue with it. Like, that's a perfect example, right? But we've had abhorrent state laws, interracial marriage, lots of things. Just because it's state law doesn't mean we have to enforce it, right? There is higher law than man-made law, and
right.
there are certain ones that shock a reasonably functioning
conscience, human conscience.
That's definitely
And when
true.
Government is saying what morals should be, you get these really horrible outcomes. Interracial marriage is a perfect example of that. Was a law of much of the land for a very, very long time until courts wisely struck it down. Doesn't mean we have to abide by that.
I think that we have prosecutorial
segregation,
discretion.
Another one. I mean, there's tons of them.
Of course, but I think that this would generally be aimed at public nudity in the situations that we don't want to see it.
Yeah, but then the unequal application of it, right? Then you get struck down because of that. Women can sunbathe on the beach, but then, you know, something else happens maybe on the street. And what's the difference?
Well, what I would say is that we charge this.
I'm going to call on Commissioner Richardson, then Commissioner Minor. I'm not sure using the sunbathing was the best example for us because you don't really arrest a lot of nude sunbathers in the city, right?
We don't.
Chief, so I think you were trying to tell us that the law itself has been upheld. I'm not sure you were trying to make the point. I think it came out that way, frankly, that this is what we should be doing. That's what the point I think is pretty clear is this is a statute that currently exists. Our police enforce it in the way they see fit. And they haven't arrested nude sunbathers or any of the other things. But I think you raised that point just to show us that it is a somewhat ambiguous statute that has been upheld by the courts. Like interfering with a police officer's lawful duty is another one of them that's on the books. That sometimes there's dispute about what that means. But we're simply allowing our prosecutors to enforce the same law rather than go to the state attorneys to do the same law. That's all this does, right?
Correct.
And Mr. Mayor,
let me get to Commissioner Richardson.
So that I think the example may not have been the best one because what I think historically we the city have not enforced a woman topless sunbathing on the beach, and it sounded like with this we were going to start enforcing that. So you're saying that's always been the law under state law. We have some prosecutorial discretion, I guess, but there's not going to be a change in that, right?
Right. No, I think that, no, not at all. This was just an example of situations that the courts have approved. I think that what we are generally aiming at is nudity in situations where you would not expect to see it, like in the parks, at the showers, on the beach, right, and things of that nature that... where we currently have people engaging in public nudity that we really don't want. And so I agree. It was probably a bad example, but...
I think, in a bit of jest, I think Commissioner Fernandez and I would certainly not want to see the women have their rights to top of sunbathing.
And for the record, maybe right? Some men also.
All right.
Equal protection.
Yeah. We're going to go to Minor, then back to Fernandez. Commissioner Minor.
Thank you for bringing this, Commissioner Fernandez. Just a couple of questions, I guess, relating to the stats. I did my own a little analysis. I think we're in the same ballpark. My numbers were slightly different. I came from October 4th, 2021 to July 17th, 2022. I came up with 91 cases. I'm assuming we're talking about Florida Statute 877.03?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some of those may be tied up with state cases that we don't have jurisdiction over. But either way, from basically this past year, over maybe a 10-month period, we prosecuted 187 cases under a city prosecution, and with a great success rate, 73%, 81% since we hired the two prosecutors. So I'll use the round number, 100. I think it might be a little less, but, I mean, I know you do have the bandwidth, but are you comfortable with taking on? I mean, it could increase the size.
I think that we're pretty comfortable with it. I mean, we didn't end up getting as many battery cases as we had initially thought that we were going to be taking on when we added the first three state offenses, and so we do have the bandwidth to add this.
And additional offenses should the commission decide to approve additional ones as well.
Right. Well, and as you know, I've been looking at several different statutes, and I've actually been analyzing what the state attorney is doing with those cases and to see if they're
not being prosecuted vigorously, mm-hmm. which I suspect some of them, because they're, we'll call them quality of life offenses, I think we may find, I think we should take those on. So I'm actually, it's taking me a little while because I'm literally going through case by case. So, but I want to bring that data to this commission when I present that. So I'm assuming those, I don't think those cases that I'm looking at, it's like assault, it's similar maybe to battery or petty theft. I don't think there's a tremendous quantity, but.
Right. I think that we would have the bandwidth to handle those as well. Whatever you guys want us to handle, we have okay. the capability to handle.
Do we have a sense as to the how the state attorney is prosecuting these disorderly conduct cases that we're talking about right now?
We haven't done any analysis of their success rate or anything like that on that particular crime, no.
Do we have any sense as to...
I'll tell you, I get concerned by the burden in the state attorney's office. Clearly, her office has not been given sufficient resources from the state of Florida, and our state attorney is trying to do the best that she can with the issue that she's having with employee retention, given the low salary. So if I had to guess, we probably serve our community best by enabling our municipal prosecution team the ability to become the primary entity responsible for the prosecution of these crimes. And not to go and you know too much into the sunbathing thing. Sunbathing is not the only form of nudity, and there are other forms of nudity that directly affect the quality of life in our community, as does noise. People who are disturbing the peace with noise, as people who are engaging in fights and brawls that not only affect our quality of life, but tarnish the image of our community, that then become these viral videos that then continue attracting this to our community. And so I just see this as so important, especially when I heard the numbers up to potentially 200 of these cases that we don't know how they're being handled now. But, I'm sure that that given the track record of our municipal prosecution team, Commissioner Minor, thanks to your leadership, now those 200 cases, hopefully we could see better results in them for the quality of life and for the image of our city that gets tarnished whenever any of these incidences become a viral sensational video.
No, I'm supportive. Thank you for bringing it. I just wanted to tee up, since I am working on this item, I haven't brought it yet because it is time-consuming, but I wanted full disclosure to the commission that I will be bringing an item with additional offenses that I think you're right, Commissioner Fernandez. I think we have the dedicated resources and a dedicated team that are taking these crimes seriously, and we're having good success as well, not only in the prosecution but also in the diversionary programs that we're offering as well. That's also having an impact in getting people the help and the rehabilitation they need as well. Right. Which, if the case is just dismissed and not prosecuted, they're not getting rehabilitation.
So we'll end up with a court and a prosecutor and ordinances. It'll be interesting. Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez.
Have we seen that since we've been prosecuting these crimes, have you seen that these same criminals, are they not coming back to Miami Beach afterward? I mean, I know we're diverting a percentage of them, but I know that we had these serial people that we were constantly arresting. I just wanted to know from our police if we've seen any change since we started the program.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Vice Mayor, members of the Commission. We are compiling the data with our court services unit to be able to see if through the prosecution program over time we reduce the number of repeat offenders associated with that. Most of the people that we have or we've been dealing with are generally a part of our homeless population, that do have these quality of life violations and these crimes associated with that. As far as disorderly conduct goes, no, we have not tracked that particular statute to see if in fact that they're the same persons committing those crimes. But we do get theft. I mean, theft seems to be a very common repeat offense associated with that, petty theft, going back to the same stores, and those types of crimes are very, very consistent.
But we're prosecuting those now, and we're seeing a conviction.
We're seeing more attention paid to those convictions process because there's a certain number of convictions on the misdemeanor aspects of it. It gets pulled into a higher classification. It actually gets tried as a felony But the key is the convictions.
Okay, Commissioner Minor.
And just to be clear, we don't currently handle petty theft. That's actually one of them that I'm analyzing the data to see if we should take that on. But just from the pure sheer numbers, if you look at the numbers from 2021 of the cases handled by our prosecution team, we were over 400. And now with the data that I got with 1 month left in the year, so 11 months, we had 187 prosecutions. So either we're making a lot less arrests, which I doubt that's the case. The fact that we had literally half the prosecutions, I think, says that we are having success, that we're not having to prosecute as many people.
And Commissioner, if I may, I think the question came up and was posed by Commissioner Arriola about the type of arrests that are made. Most of the arrests that I see that pertain to disorderly conduct are mutual combatants. You know, there are fights that occur outside of establishments, and you know we're not able to determine who the primary aggressor is, but they are causing a public affray, and at that point they're arrested for the disorderly conduct. That's a bulk of what you see under 870-703.
Okay, Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez.
I just want to say that this is necessary because we have certain people. No, we had a summer camp program in Collins Park. All the kids were walking past the park, and there was a couple of homeless people engaging in some very lewd sexual acts. All of the campers saw it, and you know. But this is happening across the city, so we need. So this is really something necessary because this is an ongoing thing that not only our residents but our children and families and tourists are seeing. And it's really shocking because it wouldn't happen, I don't think, anywhere else. So I congratulate you because we really need to.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Mayor and colleagues. And you know, I'm very much of the idea we have to be compassionate, which is why this item came together with other items. For example, the item on New Hope, because we have to be compassionate, but our number one responsibility is to preserve the dignity of our residents and our visitors who are trying to enjoy our community. And when they're exposed to this, you know, we have to be thinking, yes, we want to be a compassionate city, but we also, it's our job to think about the dignity of our residents.
Okay, with that, let's go ahead and items been moved and seconded. Is this a roll call?
I'm sorry, who was seconded?
I'll second it. Let's go ahead and call the roll. Or
yes, Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Fernandez.
Yes.
Commissioner Arriola.
Yes.
Commissioner Minor.
Yes.
Commissioner Richardson.
Yes.
Mayor Gelber.
Yes.
Motion carries. Second reading. Public hearing is scheduled for October 26th. Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez has requested to defer to October 26th, item C7D, which was separated by Commissioner Arriola and Commissioner Richardson, so that does not have to be heard. And she's also requesting that R7J be deferred to October. So C7D, okay. R7J, October.
I think everything else has been deferred, right? I think we're just about done.
There are two items, Mayor, that have not been deferred. So R7K, you discussed it, and there was a commitment to fund it. This is the database for the CUPs.
All right. That was done. What else?
I'm sorry, was that done?
Well, do you want to show it as done?
We officially have to pass it, though, right?
Exactly.
All right, show it. Well, it's
so R7K approved by acclamation unanimously. Yeah.
And what else?
G.
R7G.
Graffiti. We're going to move that to the next one, Commissioner.
Who pulled this? Commissioner Controversial? Or I mean, I don't mind deferring if it's going to be a long discussion. I want to be respectful of everyone and our staff.
If it's not unanimous, let's defer it.
If we could defer this and you and I have a sunshine meeting in between now and October 26th, I wanted to speak to you about this post office, which is so iconic, and a few other issues that I wanted to include in your resolution and possibly have a sunshine meeting with you, with our representative, with Frederica Wilson.
Sure.
So that we could really get something interesting done there.
Okay, so show this deferred and you guys can set up your sunshine meeting. Commissioner Minor, you're recognized.
R7F is being open and continued, but we do that by acclamation.
Okay, Commissioner Minor, then Commissioner Richardson.
Okay.
I think that was a yes. Oh, you're done. Commissioner Richardson.
So just a question to Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez on C7D. Has that item been through a committee? I'm just curious if – I know we're deferring it, but should it be referred to a committee or we don't have to – I'm just curious if it's been to a committee.
I don't have a problem if we wanted to hear it now and refer it to the Neighborhoods Committee. I have no problem with that. Would you
No, I'm happy to defer it until next.
It's deferred.
Well, if it's going to, I know, but if it's going to be, if it's going to be deferred in October, referred to committee in October, then why can't we just hear it right now and I'll refer it to our neighborhoods committees who could be heard between now and October?
Yeah, I'm not.
We're either going to hear it or not. Commissioner Ariola pulled it, so if you want it heard, I gave you that option. Do you want it heard?
Well, I just told the people that that they could leave because I was deferring it. So,
Commissioner, if you'll yield, I'm not going to make any sort of motion in the future that it be referred. I was just asking the question.
It had not been referred, and actually I'm glad. Are we hearing it right now, or am I just
I don't know. It was pulled. A moment ago you wanted to defer it, and now if you don't want to defer it, I guess we'll – I'm not going to – you can take your finger off the checker in this place. You want us to hear it? What do you want to do? One reason I'm saying is, Commissioner, I'd asked everybody to try to get rid of this stuff, but it's not a huge imposition on everybody's time.
That's fine. I asked we had Steve Polizar here.
He's still here.
He's here?
Where is he?
All right,
do you want to hear the item?
Hold on.
Okay.
Commissioner Ariola pulled it. He's going to get to speak first, and then I'll go to you.
Yeah, well, so I don't know where I saw this circulating, but people reached out to me, mostly opposed. So, you know, one is, what are you doing here? You know, why do we need it? And then my concern is some of the stuff I saw was, you know, what would the composition of this committee be? What I saw was horrifying to me. So why don't you tell us about this?
So we used the composition that the city initially had, I believe, 15, 20 years ago when they started this committee, when they realized when nightlife in South Beach began to boom that they needed a coordinated voice that also had the city administration attend these, I believe they were monthly meetings. So when, you know, we've had so much drama surrounding the nightlife and we just wanted to bring it back. So, because I think that many times, especially when we were going over the 17 2 a.m. ordinances that we had, there was no unified voice. There were a lot of nightclub owners and nightlife industry and hospitality people who just didn't understand what was going on. There wasn't a regular forum for them to speak. One thing that I would say that I would change from this is to add on a couple of just resident activists from each neighborhood. So I could add in three resident members if that would make people feel better about the composition of the overall committee. But we actually took the composition of what we used to have and we used that as the formula. Steve, would you like to explain what the...
Hold on. Before we move to him, I'm going to go to everybody here. Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. And I too, pulled the item because I was curious about, you know, first of all, I'm very concerned about the proliferation of committees and so forth. But I especially get concerned about sunshine. So somebody needs to discuss that with me because if once it's a committee... then these folks can't meet and talk about stuff other than as an official meeting, and that may limit their ability to get things done.
So let me just weigh in, because I think you need four votes, and I don't think you're going to have them. I don't support this because, number one, I don't want to – all we do is we create so many committees, it's going to have to be staffed by somebody here. This is exactly the kind of thing that should be created by the private sector. The chamber, we don't have a, you know, sort of a business generation committee. We have a chamber that has, in the private sector, created itself. It comes to us. We listen to them. If there's a need for a nightlife committee, then there should be a nightlife committee created in the private sector. I don't want Lena's staff and our city staff to be spending their time at meetings and doing all these things with these proliferation of committees. So I don't support it. There's a need for it, then let the private sector organize themselves, which happens in a lot of places, and I'd be very happy to meet with them the same way I think the chamber provides a very vital presence in our community, but it's not a city committee. It's the Chamber of Commerce Committee, and I'm not going to support this just because I feel like we keep creating committees that all we do is send our staff to to meet. And then, of course, Commissioner Richardson raises a very good point, which is all these, we're going to have to be policing all of the Sunshine Law violations, because I suspect a lot of these folks like to talk about what they're going to be doing, and now they're going to be part of an official city committee and not be able to talk other than during their official meeting. So I don't support it either, but I don't think you have more than three votes.
So if I withdraw this item, I can bring it back in December, correct, or November, if I withdraw this and don't, or has it officially been heard right now?
If it's not voted on, you could bring it back at any time.
Oh, so then I'm just going to defer it to November. Can I do that?
Yes, ma'am.
December. I'm deferring till December, and we will hear it in December when hopefully we will have a more balanced commission.
Very good taste.
Okay, thank you all. Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Hold on. That's what I said to you before. Go ahead. Oh, hold on.
Sorry.
And you said no. Hold on for a second. We're not adjourned.
Oh, one more. Quick item. There's a question. So I'm gonna explain it a little bit because I'm not sure everyone is familiar. This is relating to North Beach Elementary School. This was actually supposed to be on this commission meeting.
I'm sorry, Commissioner. Just for the record, we're doing R9D.
Yeah. So I know a number of parents had approached me concerned about the structural soundness of the school, and obviously it's the school board that has the jurisdiction, but they're Miami Beach parents. I know the mayor, you've been working on this for a while. I ended up putting this on the public safety meeting. This was held last week. About 20 or so parents showed up in person. School board member Lucia Baez Geller was here as well, and we were going to have a continuation today. I believe the superintendent was going to appear in person or one of his representatives, but because of the hurricane and the schools being closed, they were taken away. So we had to move that. There's actually going to be a meeting on a walkthrough next week at North Beach Elementary School. And just to be clear, what they're looking for is the comfort, structural engineering reports and what have you. So when they approached me, I actually had reached out to a number of representatives and didn't get any responses, which led me to put it on the commission calendar, public safety meeting, making a public records request. Documents have started coming in. But these parents have serious concerns, as Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez and Commissioner Fernandez sitting on public safety meeting heard from them, and their level of angst is, we'll leave it at that. Anyway, the next commission meeting, because it's not going to be heard today, is October 26th, and they did not want to wait that long, and they were asking me, pleading with me for a way till we could get this heard sooner. So one thought I had was October 12th, we have the workshop for the resiliency code workshop. And I would ask this commission if we could have, after that, hear this item. And presumably school board member would appear, potentially the superintendent as well, because this is a public safety item that they want heard sooner rather than later.
Look, I think this is something, yeah, I'm supportive that we absolutely need to address, not just in North Beach Elementary, but any of the schools. I also saw the pictures and images, spoke to some parents. My aide was able to go visit the school. It's really embarrassing. And what frustrates me is not just the condition of this school, Feinberg Fisher, perhaps some others, in such a wealthy city, with parents that are very active in the schools, but yet the school board allows these buildings to deteriorate. Frustrating to me is the past 2 years during COVID was a great time for them to go in and do a lot of remediation and building, and somehow they just didn't do it. And I'm just wondering what the heck these people do. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I think they fail at their jobs time and time again. I think they're failing our children, and it's apparent in the condition of some of our schools. And the fact that city budgets have to come bail them out because they can't do their job, it's really embarrassing. And I'd like to invite any of them and all of them to come sit with the parents in our chambers. I think we run meetings that are much more respectful to parents than they do. And it's not just the Miami-Dade School Board, but it certainly is them. But you see these horrific school board meetings throughout the state and the country, that they're really disrespectful to parents, particularly during COVID.
Okay, I want to just, I don't want to litigate the whole thing. I just want to, Commissioner Minor raised an issue about scheduling. What do we have on October 12th?
It's a workshop, special workshop on the resiliency code.
Is that just been
it,
set
it was
up?
It was just scheduled today.
Okay. What time is that at?
2:30.
Okay, so why don't, if you want to put something on the agenda for 2:30, that's fine.
Mayor, could I, just a point of order, I would ask that you not do that. I'm going to be traveling.
Okay.
And I specifically said I don't need to be here for the other one because I already have a briefing and I'm satisfied. But with this, I'd like to be able to participate, and I won't be available on that.
When are you? Well, why don't we do this? Let me make a suggestion. First of all, I know that there's supposed to be a meeting. There's not only today we were going to hear it, but also earlier today there was going to be a meeting with the superintendent. I think they're going to reschedule that very soon. Why don't I do this? Why don't we try to find a time that very soon, and like we do with all meetings, we'll look at all the different meetings we have and see if we can tag it on there. Michelle will check everybody's schedule. I think it's probably not a bad idea to sort of embrace Commissioner Richardson's scheduling concerns. You're leaving next week.
Yes, Saturday. So, or if you want, refer to your committee and hear it there. But
well, and to just address that, first of all, the Public Safety Committee doesn't meet till the 19th. I was really hoping to do it before. But even so, we did have it at that committee, and we can do it again. And I think this time there'll be additional representation from the school board. But I think it behooves the full body to hear it because we heard it already.
Well, we can also appear, any one of us can appear at your meeting. I think what will happen, and I've talked to the superintendent, who I've talked to two or three times about this exact North Beach issue. I think he's intent, and he's told me he wants to accelerate repairs and things like that and do what he needs to do. But I think what would be helpful is if they're going to have a meeting, that meeting happens before whatever the meeting you're suggesting is
scheduled for next week.
Yeah, so why don't we... Why don't give us a chance to schedule it for you? And Commissioner Richardson, how long are you gone for?
I'm going to be out until the 21st. I know that there was with this one open item, but I didn't feel like I needed to participate since I've spent so much time with staff. So, but can we put it? Is it too late? Can we put it on the agenda for the 26th, the next October meeting?
We could. Based on the concerns that they have and the condition, as Commissioner Arriola described, they're concerned about waiting that long. Things are moving along better than they had, but quite frankly, I think there's a lack of confidence and lack of trust because for a long time there weren't any responses. I mean, even to me, I couldn't get a response until I put it on the commission calendar.
Right. Isn't that funny?
All right.
They don't like being called out in public, then they scramble. It's shameful. It really is. And if we have to bring the heat to make them do the job, we should do that.
I mean, can we take another minute to try to figure out a date right now? When do you leave, if you mind my asking?
He leaves Friday.
So
he's not. We're not.
Because we don't have any meetings, and the only one that was going to be possible was this resiliency one, and the reason I don't need that.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
I think at the very least, I would want to take one action with this. If my colleague would entertain it, I don't, you know.
Take action now?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Commissioner. But I think there's something a little problematic with telling everybody we're not discussing it. No one is here. No one from the school board is here. No parents are here. And then us deciding we're going to have a fulsome. I actually, Commissioner Minor wanted to schedule this. We can keep going, but
you're right. The parents are not here. I just felt that.
Well, no one from the school. I think there was going to be a superintendent was going to meet with our rep and the parents earlier today, and then we were going to hear from that afterwards. Both those meetings didn't happen. So I feel like from a process point of view,
Propose an action. I just feel that their inspector general should be looking into this. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's served the children well of that school the way that this has been handled.
A couple of things. One is that the fact that they couldn't do that walkthrough, but I also was – it was represented to me earlier this morning that the only items that would be heard today were budget, so that was weighing in my decision whether I wanted to hold everybody up. And now here we are discussing it, and potentially the parents could have been here. But we would have been at without school board representation, which I think would have had limited utility. Can I throw an idea? I'm sorry to put you on the spot, Commissioner Richardson. Would you be willing to I'm not sure there's going to be really a voting item in any event. Would you be willing to participate by Zoom? Would that be amenable? Because otherwise we are talking about either putting it on public safety on the 19th or the 26th, and I know the parents were much preferred to have this done in the next week or two.
Well, I don't want to react to that now. I mean, it's honestly, it's a late filed item, and I don't know anything about this subject. I haven't heard from anybody on this. I don't know anything about it. So,
listen, why don't we do this? Why don't I... your next meeting, your next neighborhoods meeting is
the 19th.
Why don't you put it on that agenda? If we can find a meeting beforehand, although and let Commissioner Richardson figure that out, we can always add it to an agenda if Commissioner Richardson's okay with that. But why don't we at this point?
I really think this should be heard sooner. The parents have been waiting since April, I think, to have this. We're finally making momentum. We're finally getting to a point where the school board is responding, and I just don't think we should wait close to a month to have this item heard with everyone in the room.
Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez.
Commissioner Richardson, I think you should consider attending by Zoom and let us do it on the 12th, because there are a lot of parents at North Beach that are going to be very upset that we're deferring this item for a full month. And if you want, after this, I can give you the phone numbers of some of them so that they can call you themselves and explain why they're so upset. I think they consider this to be a public safety emergency, and they want to be heard. And I think that we don't want to, after this meeting, have them call and say, we're not hearing it for a month because Commissioner Richardson didn't want to hear it. I think that you should allow this to be heard at the 12th, at the meeting on the 12th, and then you could Zoom in. And, you know, I don't know that we'll be taking any action, but I guarantee you that the parents, many parents in Mid Beach and North Beach Elementary parents, would be very grateful to you.
Okay, well, Commissioner Richardson, let's...
Listen, the body will do what they want to do. I haven't heard from one parent. I didn't even know about this until I saw it on the slate filed agenda.
Can I finish, please.
So I don't know anything about the subject, but if it's a workshop and there's going to be no voting, because you know on a remote, if I'm on Zoom, I can't vote, even though I can participate. So, you know, if it's a workshop and there's no action and there's not going to be any voting, then I would be open to that.
Let's do is the 12th okay?
I don't know what my schedule is right now on the 12th.
Why don't we? Michelle will check schedules, but we'll try to do it the 12th. We'll check with Commissioner Richardson. Either way, you've also got the backup of your committee meeting, which you can be on. And if there's another committee meeting we can call for a workshop, then I'm happy to do that. I'll work. In other words, we set up a lot of different meetings. And the other thing is, it might behoove us, if there is a meeting between the superintendent, which he was going to have today, outside, where the superintendent and the parents and the school officials were meeting, I'd like to know when that is.
It's been scheduled for next week.
Oh, it is. Is it what day? Do you know?
I just want to get confirmation.
Because it would be better if our meeting was after that, obviously.
It will be, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I was just going to say. I think that's what I think you're trying to do, and I appreciate that. So I think that if they have that, we could find out when that is, and I can just call us in for a workshop after that meeting happens. All right, and we can check with Commissioner Richardson. You're probably a few hours ahead of us wherever you are, so we could figure out a time that works for you so he can participate. And we'll do that. I can call a meeting. So I'll just do that after you tell me when, and we'll just have a workshop.
Just verbiage is important to me, so it was not late filed because we heard it at public safety last Wednesday, which was after the agenda was due. So as soon as that meeting was done and the three of us had agreed that we should hear this at this commission meeting, it was put on the agenda immediately.
Okay. Commissioner Rose Gonzalez.
I guess that's fine, but I would also like you guys to be considerate of our time, because I have – the Affordable Housing Committee meeting, the Finance Committee meeting, this meeting. Now we're having
I mean, we continue to schedule meetings. It's too many meetings. It's meeting death by meeting. So hopefully, I mean, if you could piggyback this on some other meeting, because I work.
What we'll do
it's
is
a lot.
I'll commit to you this. We'll talk to everybody before we call the meeting. We'll wait to hear when the superintendent, it may change the need for the meeting or at least the level of the meeting after the superintendent talks with the North Beach folks. And we'll work around people's schedules. If you'd like it later in the day or an evening, that might be better for parents, frankly. We'll figure that out. Michelle will send out an email promptly as soon as we learn what date the superintendent's meeting so we can accommodate everybody, and we'll try to keep Commissioner Richardson so that he is able to participate by Zoom at 3 in the morning from wherever he is.
Well, and let me say, Mayor, if you'll allow me, that you know I would agree with you, Commissioner Rosen-Gonzalez, that we have too many meetings and we have too many items on the meetings. And the last commission meeting, I had two items other than proclamations, and I only had one of my items heard. I had two items on the entire agenda, and only one of them was heard because there were so many items on the agenda. So, but I do think, you know, we spend so much of our time, and we're public servants, and we're happy to be here. But when there's a, you know, an opportunity for us to have a little bit of flexibility, which I had no meeting scheduled, and I made travel plans, and now suddenly we're going to have a meeting, and I don't think that's really fair to me as a member. Because, you know, now if it's a state of an emergency like the pandemic, but this is an item that we can't even take action other than we can lean in on somebody. But this is an action that's going to be taken by the school board. We don't have a vote on it. But let's just be respectful of everybody's schedule.
I'm going to do my best to do that, and I thank you all. Okay, with that.
Mr. Mayor, can I just, I'd like to just, 5 seconds, I'd like to just, you know, thank our staff. I think that today we're probably the only city that is fully operational, and we're small but mighty, and it took a lot of preparation to prepare for a storm of the caliber that we were facing. And since last Friday, we've been in full preparation mode, and I'm certainly extremely proud of everyone who showed up at work today, and I want to thank all of our directors, our entire management team, all of our first responders, everyone who's been out on the street. Many of us in this room did not sleep last night. We were very, very worried about what we were facing today. So I want to thank you, all of you, for your support and your leadership. We stand ready and prepared to support our neighbors to the north of us. We're obviously feeling their pain tonight. Many of us vacation on the West Coast. Both our fire department and our police department are ready to go in support in whatever way we need. I just felt the need to say that tonight.
I appreciate that, and I think it needs to be said that we appreciate all that you do, even when there's tough winds outside. And we also, our thoughts are with all of our residences, all our neighbors on the West Coast, because these pictures suggest that this is really something even folks of us here haven't seen. So it's going to be a very tough night and day tomorrow. So thank you all. Thank you for the budget, and meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.